Okay, I believe we're going to start the next perek. But before we start, the perek Gimel ends with Melech Moav being makor of his son simply to avoid the zorah. By the goyim, this was a common thing in those days, common practice, where they would actually offer a child to the avoid the zorah. So the pasuk says, Vayikach es benoy abchor, this is Melech Moav, the king of Moav, took his son, firstborn, and he shechted him as a kol. Machlekes in Chazal, between Rav and Shmuel, Meseches and Hedrin daf lamates, whether he actually brought them as a kol to Rabbanu Shel Olam, or simply he gave in Tavad Azor. That's the Pashat of Pshat. In fact, the Gemara brings down that Choyma, the word Choyma, wall, is spelled here without a Vav. So it also could be read Chama. And this was the Avod Zorah that they used to worship in those days. One of the Avod Zorahs was the Chama. So now the Gemara goes and asks a question. Because the parak ends, Vayihi ketzev godol al Yisrael. There was a lot of anger on Klai Yisrael from Hashem. So the Gemara has a problem. Bishloim, if you learn that he was makar of his son to Hashem, so we understand. The truth is, even that's a plea. L'chor, it's murder. Unless Hashem comes to you like Akedas Yitzchak ben Avraham, a person goes and shechts his child for Hashem, like Chazal bring down by Yiftach HaGilodi, that's Ritzicha. That's murder. For sure, if it was Favah Dezorah, for sure it makes no sense. So the Gemara actually asks, right there the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks, what was the time on Klal Yisrael? Could Rabbi Shu ben Levi? Lomo your ketzav godol al Yisrael. But I'm asking you both ways. Whether you learn he was makar of his son to Hashem, or you learn he was makar of his son to Avodah Zorah, either way it's a plea. Because either way he did the wrong thing. If he shechted his son for Hashem, it's also a ritzicha. If a father would go today and shecht his son, l'shem Hashem, that wouldn't be a korban. That would be a ritzicha. Be murder. So the fact that a person is doing it l'shem Hashem, what does that do? It doesn't make any hechsher temple to it. So you have to know, number one, what was the ketzev gadol on Klal Yisrael? That's number one. Which L'chari the Gemara only addresses one element of it, but the whole idea is shver. What was the ketzev gadol on Yisrael? Now the perek starts with the famous story with the woman that came, the Eishes Novi, Eishes Ovadia, actually, Chazal tell us. And she came to Elisha that he should perform a miracle for her. She's out of money. And this is the famous Maisa. The Olam probably remembers it from the Haftarah as well, where the Navi tells her to bring a lot of Kalim, and the oil comes, and all the oil goes and overflows to all the Kalim, and she becomes a wealthy woman. She acquires a lot of money through this sale of this oil. So the way the pasuk reads, "V'isha achas min eshei b'nei anavim tzoka elisha lemo avdi ishi meis v'ata yadata ki avdi chayrei Hashem." Kam Chazal, Rav Moni, in the Tanchuma, in Parshas Kisiso, and he says this woman was Eishes Ovadia. She was the wife of Ovadia Hanavi. And she came to the Navi, to Elisha, to say she's out of money. She's out of funds. And she's in such a dire state that the creditors are coming to take her children for Avodah. That means Ovadia himself, Ovadia HaNovi, used his own two sons for collateral. Okay? Used his two sons for collateral. That if the debt doesn't get paid back, so his sons have to become slaves. Okay. Not such a smart thing to do. Now, So she comes and she says, "V'anoy shebola kachas eshnei bonai." Now listen what Chazal tells us. Rav Moni comes in Medrash and he says, "Ilmole ischus ishtei shel eishes ovadia." Kolu Yisrael bois eisha. Hear a Chazal? The Medrash Tanchuma says in Parashas Kisisa that if not for the schus of the wife of Ovadia, if not for her schus, Klai Yisrael Chasram could have gotten destroyed in that door. You have to know what that is. This is what I'm going to tell you actually connects the shtickle to the Intifada, what's going on now a little bit. But this is what Chazal say, that Ilmole her schus, Kol Yisrael bois eisha. Shaila is, what was her schus? Anyway, Chazal tell us that Ovadia did something very special. Ovadia Hanavi actually supported the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im were starving, and Ovadia supported them. The pasuk comes and says, the noisha bola kachas, what was this noisha? Shekilkel Hanavi'im. Ovadia Hanavi, he supported the Nevi'im that were mamish starving in his time, and he didn't have the money to support them, so he had to borrow money. Chazal tells not only he borrowed money, he borrowed money in ribbis. Now who did he borrow money in ribbis from? From Yoram ben Achav. And it was actually Yoram ben Achav, the guy, the infamous person that we learned about in the last perek, he came to collect the two sons, to take them as Avodim. That's what Chazal tells. Stam, you should know this whole thing with taking people for slaves, for a loan, is unacceptable in halacha. Anyway, that's not for now. Somebody asked me a very interesting shaila. This goes back maybe 12, 13 years ago. Somebody asked me a shaila. Somebody owed them, was a large debt. Reuven and Shimon lived next to each other. And Shimon owed Reuven, let's say it was about $500,000. He owed him a lot of money. He owed him about $500,000. And Shimon was supposed to pay Reuven back in a very short period of time. Turned out, he didn't pay him back. He said he doesn't have the money. Anyway, it was a very difficult situation. I knew both parties. It's a very difficult situation. The reason why it was very difficult is because Reuven and Shimon lived very close to each other. And they were very good friends. And Mamela, it's a friend. That's another, it hurts you more if it's a friend, that you feel your friend is wronging you. What made it more complicated is because they were lived so close together, so Reuven knew exactly how Shimon is living. So if Shimon, your neighbor, owes you $500,000, and you see he has cleaning help that comes to his house, and you see he goes away for Pesach, and his wife meets your wife by the manicurist, that's... You owe me $500,000. So I used to get calls every Monday and Thursday from Reuven that I should help him to try to get the money back from Shimon. Right? And he used to give me all his stories. The guy's wife is going to, and he just leased a new car. And he... Anyway, it turned out that Shimon was an Erlacha guy. He had no money. Why did he have cleaning help? Because that's the way they always live. They have cleaning help. The Chazal tells an Ani has to live according to his standards. I tried to explain that to Reuven, that, you know, believe me, Shimon is going through a very hard time. Yeah, he can't tell his wife not to take a manicure once a month. He can't do that. That's the way they lived all the years. They cut down a lot of how they lived, but it's like a necessity. For them, it's a necessity. Anyway, the guy asked me an interesting shaila. Reuven asked me an interesting shaila. He finally came around and he was masking that, you know, he believes that Shimon doesn't have the money. Shimon's not sitting on a mattress, $500,000, not paying him back. He said, why don't you see a shaila? He says, Shimon is about 65 years old, let's say. Right? I'm switching, obviously, the names and the ages. Nobody should be able to figure who it is. But anyway, so he says, Shimon was 65 years old. Shimon used to have a business. And now he was already semi-retired. He ran the business, let's say, the way he used to work when he was a young man, he used to work from get to business 6 o'clock in the morning and leave 10 o'clock at night. which is a more they could vote from a gifter. A gifter went to Mexico. This happens in your kreisen. And he went, I don't know who it was, but he said he had an appointment to meet a gevir. I don't know who the gevir was. Maybe you know who the gevir was. But it was a famous story. It became famous in Tells. Maybe in Mexico it wasn't famous. And this gevir, he couldn't get to see. Ramatl was there for a short amount of time, maybe 2 days, I don't know. It's very hard to get an appointment to see this gevir. Finally, he got up some appointment. 7 o'clock in the morning. Chveis was like an unearthly time to meet this guy. And where did he meet him? He said they made the appointment in the business. He met him in his office. So Rav Gifta said, and this guy was fabulously wealthy. So Rav Gifta said, one of the first things he asked him when he met him, he said, is, why do you work like a meshugana? You have a lot of money. You're very much liach. Run your business instead of from 7 to 12 at night, instead of living there most of your life. You could come in 8 hours a day and you could still make a living. So he looked at Rav Gifta. He said, in order for my business to succeed, I have to live and die for my business. I can't do the business 9 to 5. For my business successful, so you can imagine, Rav Gifta came back to tell us, he said, "Oy, mevil steigen in lelem, can't be 9 to 5. He said, the building was shaking when he said it. Yeah. You gotta live and die for it, friend. And I told him, that's what he took from this fellow. So this Reuven told me, does he have a right al pidin to call Shimon to Besdin and to say, Shimon, you owe Reuven $500,000. That's a pretty penny. And we'll make a difference if it's a pretty penny. Any money you owe him. But you owe him $500,000. He needs the money. You can't work from 9 to 3. You have to work, and we'll get yourself a second job. Does he have a right, als balchayv, to go to Bezin to make the other guy get a job? Or work more than he's working? It's very negel halacha, this shayla. The guy owes you money, and he's not working. Or he's not working to his full extent. Okay, I said we're not going to talk about it, so I shouldn't talk about it. But there is a Tshuva Sarosh, and the Tshuva Sarosh says that you cannot force somebody else to work. Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodayim v'lei avodim l'avodim. So although a Baal Choyv can go to your property, and a Baal Choyv can, there's a din besadrin l'Baal Choyv. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin, certain things you let the guy keep, but you're allowed to take some of his property. But the Rosh says, you cannot make him work. So it's interesting. The Rosh applies this even for him getting a job. Because Lachari, you could say, well, a job is not avdus. But the Rosh applies that to a job. So the Rosh sees that the only time you sell a person as an eved is by gnev, it's a special gzeres hakosu. V'im ein loy v'nim kar b'gnevosei. Other than that, you cannot make another person work. Now, I'm sure if Shimon asks the Rosh, should I get a job to pay Reuven back? Of course he would say you should get a job. Prius Balchayv Mitzvah. But Reuven can't use Besdin to sanction that. He can't do that. Here Yehoram took the two sons of Ovadia as a shibut for the Choyv. L'choyr al pidini, according to the Rosh, he wasn't allowed to do it. And this worse, this was Favodim. Mamish Avodim. Could be totally in the sugi there in Sanhedrin whether a king has a right to take the people kol akosa b'parashas melech melech muter boy or melech osa boy. But anyway, Yehoram can grace a tzaddik, he wasn't. So it's not a kasha that he did it. Even if he wasn't allowed to do it. He did it. The shaila is, what was the schus of Eishes Ovadia? So I'll tell you what I think we could say here. It's a famous question. What's the smichas aparshas between Bikurim and Amalek? I don't know if the Olam heard that kasha. It's a famous kasha. What's the connection? Because if you look in the Torah, parshas Kisei, it ends with Amalek, immediately followed by the parsha Bikurim. What's the connection? So there's a lot of different mahalchim out of line. I'm going to share with you one of them. When Bilam goes to curse Klal Yisrael, right, which was a terrible thing that he was doing, it says, Vayashkeim Baboiker. Bilam HaRasha wakes up in the morning. He wakes up early. He's not paying Azmanim's schedule. He wakes up early. Right? As though his parents are home. Vayashkeim Baboiker. He wakes up early. Yeah? And he goes to curse Klal Yisrael. So Rashi brings down a chazal that Hashem tells Bilam, don't think that you're going to get reward for waking up early. It's Jesus. Kfar kod mocha Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu already woke up early. By the Akeda. Vayashkim Avram Babaker. So don't think you're going to get schar. So everybody asks, schar? For waking up early to curse Klal Yisrael? Why would he get schar for that? Why should he get reward for waking up early to curse Klal Yisrael? If it was a mitzvah he was doing, Vayashkeim Bilam, I understand. He woke up early for a bad thing. Vayicharaf Hashem ki hoylechu. Hashem was angry that he went, whatever the pshat is. So why would Bilam think he gets reward? There's a beautiful word b'shem that I saw, b'shem the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says, and I'll tell you, I heard a similar idea from Rabbi Yankov Zatzal, b'shem the Alter Slobodke, on B'nei Bonov Shel Homon Limdu Torah B'nei Brak. Same, very similar word. The Baal Shem Tov said like this. He said that when a person does something, even something bad, a lot of times you can learn from them. You can learn from them. Very often they're doing something which is not bad, but it doesn't even have to be good. You can learn from them. But even somebody can do something bad, you can learn from them. You can learn from everybody. You can absolutely learn from everybody. So the Baal Shem Tov said, if Bilam HaRasha got up early in the morning to curse Klal Yisrael, he could have become a symbol of Zrizus. And now, being a biblical figure, teaching Zrizus to Klal Yisrael, he would get reward. Yeah. He would get reward for our good deeds because he taught us what it means to get up early in the morning. That's also something. That's also something. If a person, Rahmanul Litzlan, is in a hospital dying from lung cancer, and he calls people down to see him, and he calls students down to see him, so they should see what smoking does, he'll get schus. Even though maybe he was a shtickel ma'abed atzmei l'da'as by smoking, and that Hashem will have a tain on him for that, but he'll get a schus for teaching other people not to smoke. That's also something. The Kloizenberger, one of the Kloizenberger Rebbe's, Zatzal's famous, favorite pshatim in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos is Dalad, right? Dalad midas pohochei beis medrash. Hoyleich v'oiseh, right? One who goes and learns. One who goes and doesn't learn. There's somebody who learns, but they don't go. They learn at home. And then, there's enei hoylech v'enei oiseh. So the Baal Shem is, why is he called Hochei Beis Medrash? The Kloizenberg. He doesn't do anything. It's really three midas. There are three midas on Hochei Beis Medrash. Okay, so one of them doesn't even go, but he learns. So you can also call him, he makes a Beis Medrash out of his house. Whoever. But enei hoylech v'enei oiseh. So the Kloizenberger says, a guy who doesn't go to learn, and he doesn't learn, he's miserable. He lives a miserable life. And people look at him and they go, I don't want to be like that. Kik del schar! For making other people hochei beis medrash. If one guy looks at him and goes, look at that guy. Look at that guy. He never goes to beis medrash. Look how miserable he looks. I'm going to the beis medrash. Zuckte Kloizenberg of that, I get schar von Hochei Beis Medrash. That's why he's also counting. Chassid is a pshat, but Em is a pshat. The Baal Shem said, Hashem told Bilam, the truth is, if you were the first one in history to teach us reasons, you would get reward. But we already learned it from Avraham Avinu. So don't think you're going to get reward. You're not getting Yisra'ah. Amolei came. Asher korcho baderech. There's many, many pshatim. Asher korcho baderech. How Amolei, what it means, korcho. Tumeh, loshen mikra. One of the pshatim is, Amalek in one day went more than a person could go in 60 days. Because they were so heated up about killing Klal Yisrael, they were so excited to kill us, that they traveled more than a person could travel in 60 days in one day, according to one version. So Mamela, when Amalek came, we realized, you know what? We're kar. We're chilled. Look at their reasons. Look at Amalek's reasons. Korcha baderech. The way Amalek came, the way they came to kill Klal Yisrael, they showed what Jesus is. And now, at the very least, we have to learn from that and use it in a positive way. What's the response to Amalek? Bikurim. Bikurim, we go into the field even before the fruit grows. And we already put on the bendel. We put on the red string, right? So that when it grows, we'll bring it for a mitzvah. So the whole mitzvah Bikurim is a basis of Jesus. That's why it's found following Bikur. Because that's the biggest time if you don't learn. If you don't learn. When Melech Moav went and he sacrificed his son for his belief, it's true that's a negative thing. Whether he did it for Hashem, whether he did it for Avodah Zarah, it's zikha negative. But he taught us what Mesiras Nefesh is. We didn't have Mesiras Nefesh. He taught us what Mesiras Nefesh is. And therefore, that was a ketzav gadol al Yisrael. That was the ketzav on Klal Yisrael. We weren't having Mesiras Nefesh. He did. We should have learned from him. We shouldn't have done what he did, Chas v'Shalom. Of course not. We should have learned from him. What did Ovadia HaNovi do? Ovadia HaNovi was Moiser Nefesh to support the Nevi'im. And Rabbi Yisrael, he wouldn't have been allowed to do it without his wife giving him the green light, because he owes Sherek Sus Voinos, he owes Mazoinus to his wife, Eishes Zavadia. He has no right to give away the money of the house. She's the Rebbetzin. And she was masking that he could use his sons for collateral. Memela, she took the Mesiras Nefesh of Moav and used it positively. Ilmoleis Chusa Shel Eishes Zavadia. If not for her taking Mesiras Nefesh in a positive direction, from what she saw, Chas v'Sholem, Kol Yisrael Bo'is HaShoah. Al this ketz of Gadol that came out from life. So our job is, even if it's coming from a bad place, but if we see something we could learn, we have a chiyuv to learn. And if we don't, it's a ketz of Gadol on us. When you look at the goyim around us, you look at the intifada that we're going through now. So to my mind, nobody knows why these things happen. We can't know for sure. But we have a din. Yifashvish b'maisiv. We have a din, we have to be looking to ourselves. So I feel there's two nekudas. One is mi bifnim and one is mi b'chutz. Mi bifnim, we have to have more achdus. We have to have achdus. Look at the achdus that the goyim have, all of these different groups, Fatah and Hamas, they hate each other. They'll kill each other to pieces. And ISIS and Al Qaeda, all these chevra, they all within their own groups they'd kill each other. But ki yishechad b'leiv echad, tzahargan and klal Yisrael, achdus. So we have to be misakan our achdus. I was very happy to hear that in the Knesset. Now I heard that the chevra ha Knesset, all the frumel, got getting together and they're trying to do things together more. It always bothered me. Such a force of Frumel Yidden there. To work together. Who cares if you're this tribe, but that's you wear blue hat, you wear gray hat, you wear a pink hat. Who cares what color hat you wear? But then there's another nakuda we have to learn, and that's mamish from this perek. One other point. Do you realize, forgetting the Arabs that come in and are suicide bombers, Rahman al-Islam, they come in with a bomb, you know, wrapped around their belt. Forget that. The Russian airliner that just came down now, that are looking into all possibilities of how it came down. I'm sure you all heard that the airliner, Russian airliner, came down in the Sinai. Right? There's all kinds of tumult as to how it came down. They still don't know for sure. But they pretty much are focusing on a bomb. And they're looking different ways how the bomb could have gotten onto the plane. Okay? So there's a lot of ways. One way is simple. There's very little security on the back end of the airport. Which means all those people who work in the back of the airport, there's a tremendous security in the front of the airport. Everybody knows, right? You could take your shoes off, your socks, your belt. I went to Ahad HaChasna, Talmud HaChasna in Detroit. I had to come out, go get ready like I was going to the mikveh. It turned out that in the morning I washed my hands with a certain soap that had a, that when they did the, they put that stick to go and they went like that, it picked up some kind of the soap. And that soap, they didn't know, was it a soap? Well, who knows, maybe I have a bomb. So they called me into a room. And my jacket, my shirt, and my belt, my Baruch Hashem, I held on to my hoisin. I'm saying I told the guy, I said, I'm sure there's more interesting people there that you can have. I'm not blowing up any planes. Yeah? So there's great security in the front. But the funny thing is, it's not funny, but it's interesting, is that the back of the airport, you know, all those chevre that are driving around, taking the luggage from here, going onto the plane, who are those chevre? So they did a recent study. The screening that in some of the airports that they have, before they hire somebody for the back over there, is less than to be a janitor in a hospital. That means there's different levels of screening. If you want to get a job, a janitor in the hospital, they check you out to make sure you're not going to kill crazy. Walk in there with a machine gun and kill old people. Pull out plugs from the respirator. They want to make sure. But to get a job in an airport in the back is less screening than that. When you walk in, they make you take off your belt and your socks and your hat, the yarmulke, glasses, passport, wallet, chain in the wallet, no safety pins. I went in with a safety pin, no safety pins. Chasom, I'm going to kill the pilot with a safety pin, right? But the guy in the back is a meshugah now. And that guy in the back, he doesn't have to go through, and there's no screens, no nothing. He takes his bomb and he puts it onto the zag, and puts it onto the in the cargo, very balabatish. That's a smug, he doesn't even have to blow up. He just walks on, puts it in, and goes away, finished. And he wishes you to see a tether. Baltic. But they said that so they're going to try to now work on that, especially in other countries, to try to be more careful, to be, so that's what they're raising all these levels. The TSA did a self-test. And 90% of potential explosives were able to make it through. So it still needs tikkunim. They still need tikkunim. But they said that these people that are ready to kill them, to blow up, they're the most dangerous people. Most dangerous people. They're constantly coming up with new ways to smuggle bombs on with themselves, on their bodies, plastic bombs. You know, they have the underwear bomber, they have the unibomber, they have all these. They're ready to blow up. It's very hard to stand in a place of somebody that's ready to blow up. Very hard. Lamai said that's something that we didn't have in history. Yeah, we had it here and there, scattered. But now it's mass. Now it's, they're ready to kill themselves. Do you realize that every one of these Arabs that go in with a knife to stab a Jew, b'gehenim tehemen u'chosei, There's a 90% chance they're going to get killed. Or more than that. They're going in al-Kiddush Allah. Right? They're going in with Mesiras Nefesh. So in such a door where we sit and we're looking around, we're afraid to walk in the streets because there's goyim around us that are ready for taka, for trey, for reasons to be Mesiras Nefesh, we have to now have that Mesiras Nefesh for the right thing. And if we're mechazik these two things, I have no doubt that we'll have shalom. We're mechazik to achdus, and we're mechazik to have more mesiras nefesh. We have to learn from them. Look at the mesiras nefesh they have. Every one of these guys is ready to get shot. For a sofik. It's not even a vaday. It's a sofik. Al Baruch Hashem, most of them get shot before they actually kill a Jew. but kemat none of them can successfully stab a Jew and kill a Jew, Rahman al-Islam, and make it back home safe. That's not happening. And still they do it. So the Pasuk says here, by he ketz of God al Yisrael. When Moav did it, we need Eishes Avadya to be Moisei Nefesh in the positive to get rid of that kitrug. So we have to machazik ourselves, Achdus and Mesiris Nefesh. We do both of those things, we'll have Shalom B'Shalom.